Read a passage of scripture, and it's found in 2 Thessalonians, and you know, we serve a faithful and able God, and I told you wrong. 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Just turn back a couple pages. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, I want you to notice what he says there. In verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful, and here's my text, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Will do what? He's going to sanctify you wholly and preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, just turn over a page, and we will read a verse out of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. There's something about evil in this Bible that people just, I mean, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and thinking about it and praying about it and studying evil. Now, I've said it, all evil is sin. There's no doubt about it. But not all sin is evil. It's a difference. When we're talking about evil, we're talking about actions that will bring hurt to people physically, mentally, and spiritually. An action that will hurt somebody, another human being, physically, or mentally, or spiritually, is evil. And so he said, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Well, how is he going to do it? It's all around us. By the Word of God. Now, look with me again. He said in verse, back in 1 Thessalonians, he says in verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't get around it. Oh, so it's something that you can see. It's something that has an appearance. Look with me, let's see in verse, I tell you what, go to Timothy. This verse here is, y'all know it by heart. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. He said there, "For the love of money is the root of all," what? Is it the root of all sin? Well, let's look at it. Hang on there. Just turn the page down. Turn back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Now, I know I'm not going to get done with this. I'm just simply just trying to get you thinking. Now, next week we'll finish this all. But look in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin." Well, that wouldn't necessarily be evil if you just don't have the faith. You're doing something that is not of faith. It wouldn't necessarily hurt nobody. In the context, he's talking about eating things offered to idols. And it hurts you. And if it's not of faith, it's sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Not necessarily evil. Evil is something to do with hurting. Look in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what he says. In verse 7. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Then Paul suffered trouble as an evil doer. And what was he doing? He was preaching the gospel. And he suffered as an evil doer. Evil has to do with you affecting people. Doing something to bring some hurt. Hence, you'll find he goes on down there talking about that. And he says in verse, let's see, 14, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, overthrew the faith of some." While they didn't deny the resurrection, they was preaching the resurrection, but they were saying it was already past, and it overthrew the faith of some, and their preaching was increasing more unto ungodliness. You know what it is? It's evil. Hence, the Bible says, evil men will wax what? Worse and worse. What? Deceiving and being deceived. Evil comes from evil preaching. I think about those evil angels. And I don't have time to go in all the references that God sent. But they hurt the nation Israel. God sent evil angels unto these people. He caused over there, Ahab and Elijah had prophesied that Ahab would die and Jezebel. And so, old prophet saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw him, he's saying, who's going to bring, in other words, God's asking the spirits, the angels, how are we going to bring this about? Isn't that something? And one said this thing, and then you know what? Another spirit came up and said, I know how we can bring about the death of Ahab and fulfill the prophecy that the word that Elijah spoke. And God said, okay, how are we going to do it? He said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouths of all those prophets, and he'll listen to prophet Baal and go up there to Ramoth, get it, and die and be killed, and we can bring it about. And God said, okay, let's do it. Now, you don't think about God sending a lying spirit to people, do you? Evil. I think evil, the love of money is the root of all evil when men scheme and try to deceive people in order to gain. And that's the essence of evil, is when men, seducers, they preach whatever they preach for their own gain, and they damage and hurt and bring hurt unto the people that they're taking their money. That's evil. Evil has filled the pulpits across this world. They're up there for gain, for themselves, and they deceive people, and they're being deceived, and they're called evil men. Say, well, you just don't like them. No, I don't. I have no respect for any man that calls himself a preacher that rejects the truth of this book and the message that the Apostle Paul brought and suffered. And when we bring and they say we're evil, and we preach the gospel of Christ, and we preach Paul's gospel, and we rightly divide the word of truth, they call us evildoers, and we suffer for it, when they're the ones that's evil. But God is faithful. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Suffering. Now, I'm not going to... The thing's not about evil. But you ought to go in there and do it. That thing just keeps growing. And the more I study about evil, the more I see. But I want to talk to you about the faithfulness of the Lord. I want to tell you something. He's faithful. Number one, he's faithful to save anybody that'll call upon him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and notice a passage also, and take Hebrews chapter 7. He's faithful and he's able. Romans chapter 10. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. You believe that? You know how I know that's true? Because it happened to me. Do you know what that word of call is? And I've told you many times, it's the same word as appeal. It's simply turning your case over to Him. It's simply turning your salvation over to Him. Call. Whosoever shall just rely upon His faithfulness. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 very good verse, and I know it has to do with the nation Israel. Hebrews was wrote to Hebrews. And the reason that Hebrews was wrote is to show the Hebrews that they don't need a sacrifice, that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice, and He's their high priest. Now, He's not the body's high priest. You don't need a high priest now. You're in the body of Christ. He's your head. But the children of Israel, the book of Hebrews is wrote to them to show them that He was the sacrifice, and He's the high priest, and He entered into the holies of holies by His own blood, and you don't need the blood of goats and animals anymore. He was the sacrifice that God accepted, and so that God would save them unless they turned their back on Him. And that's the essence of Hebrews. But look in the verse in Hebrews chapter 7. He talks about in verse 22, but so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and He's the mediator of the New Testament. And then truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25, now watch it. Wherefore, he is able also to save them that save them to the uttermost that come to God out of the guttermost. I just throwed that in there. I thought that was pretty good, wasn't it? Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And he talks about the priest. The verse I want to use and make a spiritual application out of it is verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. God is able to save every sinner that calls upon him, and he's faithful to do so. And if you as a sinner in here ever would just turn it over to him, God would be faithful to you to save you right now. Salvation is so simple, folks. And people want to make it so hard. And a lot of people think, well, I got to change and I like my life the way it is. I don't really want to change, so I'm not going to get saved. I'll put it off. Oh, that's just something the devil has put out in front of you. Nowhere did God ever tell you to change anything. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, give up this, give up that. He said, trust him, call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. You don't change nothing about you. You come as a sinner with no power to change anything. In other words, Lord, here I am. I can't do it anyway. And trust him. God is able and he's faithful to save every sinner that comes to him. Isn't that wonderful? Turn with me and notice in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, in chapter 11. In verse 3 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the, what? Simplicity that is in Christ. Salvation is simple, folks, and the devil's out to corrupt people's minds from that simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's not hard to get saved. It's not hard to be saved. It's not you got to give up sins. Your sins was paid for by the Son of God in A.D. 33, and your sins was wiped out as far as God is concerned and removed. Then them sins have been removed. That was what was separating you from God. Now all you've got to do is receive the atonement for you. Why don't you do that? God is faithful and able to save everyone that calls to you or calls upon Him. Number two, God is faithful to set everybody apart. Look back with me again. He said in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, He said in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Then He said, "I pray the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." How does He do that? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians and let's look at this thing. You see, folks, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice in verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter... I'll tell you what, let's go back and read verse 22 first. He said, "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, I was studying about this thing, and the thought come to my mind, when God created all of those animals, remember? And he brought all of those animals before Adam, and Adam named them. You remember that? Reading back in Genesis? And yet the Bible said there was found no helpmate for Adam. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He died. He literally put him to death. And He opened his side, took out a rib, and He formed Eve. And I got to thinking about that. Did any animals die before Adam sinned? Well, did they? You know, you think about things like that, you know, like, did Adam have a belly button? Well, did he? No, he didn't. Eve didn't either. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to studying this and looking at this. "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And look back, He talks about death and how that there's resurrection, and but anyway, I don't want to get off on what I'm doing. Notice verse 22. All right, come over to verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, Adam, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." So the Lord Jesus Christ is a quickening spirit, and yet He has flesh and bones. He doesn't, they thought He was a spirit, And he said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And he told Thomas to put his hands in there, but yet he's a quickening spirit. He could walk through walls. But he never had the blood. There's something that happened to Adam when Adam ate of that fruit that changed his body. And I personally believe that Adam had the water of life flowing in his body and it turned to blood when he sinned. And the blood is what defiled. And God said to the nation Israel, don't eat the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. But not before Adam sinned. But anyway, come down the verse with me, and he said in verse 46, howbeit that which was not which is spiritual was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As verse 48, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, the quickening spirit, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to lose the flesh and the blood that we have that can inherit, and we're going to take on the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the quickening spirit. Hence, look with me over in Philippians. In Philippians, I'm talking about sanctification. Now watch what he says. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our, what kind of body? Why is it bowed? Because of flesh and blood. There's something about your flesh and blood that God detests and He has no part in it, and God does not straighten your flesh out. Your flesh is going to die if the Lord don't come. The worms is going to eat it, go back in the dust of the earth, and it's going to decay and rot and everything else. And if they didn't pump you full of fluid when you die and to keep you from stinking, people couldn't even come by and view your body because of the stench that would come off of you. God said He's going to change. He separated you. How did He do it? Well, you was in Adam over here. And Adam lost that spiritual image. And you became death, is so to speak. And you're born in sin. You have a sin nature about you. And that sin nature is a nature of death. And brings about death. And there's nothing that you can do about it. You were separated out over here. But when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God set you apart in His Son. And one day, you're going to have not the image that you are now, but you're going to be changed and bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the quickening spirit. You will have flesh and bone without the blood. I look forward to that. I am separated. I am sanctified. Sanctification is set apart. Where am I set apart? Set apart in Christ. Everybody in here that's saved by the grace of God, you are sanctified by the grace of God. You're set apart in the body of Christ. And that body is the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that body is seen by God as holy and righteous, and if you're in that body, God sees you in His Son. Now that's sanctification. And all this old religion going around trying to straighten up the flesh. I ain't worried about the flesh. Flesh ain't worth the gunpowder to take to blow my nose. Not worried about it. Not trying to clean it up. Trying to live a life pleasing to the Lord, yes. Ought to serve the Lord, yes. Ought to be gratified for what He done for me on the cross, yes. I serve the Lord out of love for the Lord because of what He did for me. Not because I'm thinking, trying to be somebody I'm not. Not for a show in the flesh. Not because I'm afraid that He's going to zap me if I don't. I serve the Lord and live for Him because of what He did for me on that cross. And if that's not your motive of service today, then you're going to burn, your works will burn at the judgment seat of Christ someday, and you'll end up with nothing but tears in that day. But you know something? You are sanctified. Set apart. Well, look at this thing about it. Turn with me to Galatians. Galatians. You see, folks, I'm in Christ. Well, how did I get there? By the Spirit of God. Notice what he said in verse chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into water, have been baptized into what? Who? Christ. Have what? Does that mean that... Well, I don't look like Winston. And Winston don't look like me. What do you mean put on Christ? It's that spiritual image. Have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now folks, you know that's a spiritual thing. That's a spiritual realm. Put on Christ, look in Romans chapter 13. Sanctification is not something you do. Sanctification is something that's done for you. Just like your salvation is nothing that you can do about it, but it was done for you. All you do is believe it by faith. Sanctification is nothing that you do. It's done for you. He set you apart into that body. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, notice what he said. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that it is now high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And of course that's the salvation of the body. Complete. He goes on, he said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, knowledge. Let us walk honestly, as in the day. See, you want to live like for the Lord. You don't want to live a life that's going to bring reproach against the Lord. But you want to live honest in this world. I guess everybody in this, whether you're saved or not, if somebody walked up and said, do you want to try to live up, be an honest person? Everybody would say, well, sure, I want to be an honest person. I would hope everybody in here would say that. Hope we don't have no crooks in here. But Paul said that let us walk honestly as in the day. Why? What do you mean as in the day? Well, crooks don't go out in daylight doing bad things because they get caught. People will see them. They wait till nighttime where they can't be identified or nobody can see them to do their evil deeds or whatever they do. Walk honestly. You wouldn't do something and people are looking at you. That's what he's saying. You ought to have that desire to walk honestly. You know, I realize we're not under the law. We're under grace. And when we talk about being not under the law, we're talking about not keeping the law for salvation. You understand that? But it's still wrong to steal. Amen. It's still wrong to tell a lie. It's still wrong to bear false witness. It's still wrong to do the things the commandments say. And Paul, in his epistles, covers all of those commandments except one. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. He doesn't even mention it. In fact, he tells you, don't worry about the Sabbath day. But all the other commandments, he says something about it, the idolatry and the adultery and all of these other things he talks about, and it's still wrong. And that's, we ought to walk to be honest because of what he did for us back here. Not to bring a reproach. But look what he said, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chamberlain and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Now watch it. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how do you do that? Back in verse 12. And let us put on the armor of light. How do I put on the Lord Jesus Christ? By knowledge, folks. Turn with me to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and stop off at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, notice what he said. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice in verse, he's talking about Ephesians 5, verse 5, for this ye know that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetousness, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you by vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are children of light. Ye are in the Lord. If you're saved, trusted Christ as your Savior, you're children of light. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, notice verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of knowledge. Knowledge is knowing. Knowing is light. Don't you get the picture? How can I put on the Lord Jesus Christ? By having the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How would I get it? Out of the Bible, rightly divided. Paul's epistles, if you please. I must walk in Christ according to Romans through Philemon doctrinally. Now I use all the Bible, it's for me. All of it is for me, but it's not all of it to me as a child of light. And he says there, now what is it? This is being set apart in Christ. And that body today is sanctified as children of light in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, having on his armor. This body right here is keeping the wrath of God off of this world. If this body wasn't here today, this world would be experiencing God's unsheathed wrath. And yet, the Bible says in the latter times, be despisers of those that are good. You know what the world despises today? Christians. They despise anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. They call good what? Evil. It's hurtful to believe that. And they call evil good. That's where we're at. But God is faithful and able to sanctify you wholly in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So what do? We walk in the shadow of the cross. We walk realizing I'm saved by His grace. I can't live it to get it, and I can't live it to keep it. But Lord, I want to honor You as what I can. I want to do for You. Well, I'm done.